The defense appropriations process starts in earnest this week. The Overseas Contingency Operations Fund will likely be at the center of debate for the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee. It'll likely mark up its fiscal 2016 bill on Wednesday. House Republicans want $38 billion more in that OCO fund, but President Obama says he'll veto any measure that uses OCO as a way to avoid defense spending caps. David Hawkins is senior editor of Roll Call. He writes the Hawkins Here blog. He's going to be watching how this process breaks out before the House and the Senate take off for recess next week. Hi there, David.
Hi there, Jared.
So this OCO strategy was already baked into the defense authorization bills in both the House and the Senate last week. John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said they used the most generous interpretation of OCO that they could find in the English language. Is it basically a certainty that that's what's going to happen with the appropriations process also this week?
Well, I think that's certainly how it's going to get started in the appropriations process. I think that before this is over, some pretty big changes are going to have to happen, because it seems as though the president is going to has the power to make good on his veto threat. To me, the most important thing that sort of has happened so far this year to inform the debate ahead is what happened on the vote to pass the defense authorization bill, the so-called NDAA bill, last week, in which only 41 Democrats voted for the bill. It's usually that created the most partisan party line vote for a defense authorization bill, I think probably in my 20 years of covering this stuff in Washington. The ranking Democrat on the committee, Mr. Smith from Washington State, voted against the bill. The only Democrats who really voted for it are Democrats with big defense installations in their districts or in reelection trouble. The rest of them said this OCO thing was a gimmick that they couldn't countenance, and they were showing that they'd support the president if he wants to veto the whole defense thing along these lines.
And as you suggest, I mean, the NDAA, it really is one of the few bipartisan measures that really is left around in Congress these days. We should step back a little bit. You mentioned it briefly, but can you lay out basically what Democrats' objections to this approach are?
Well, their complaint can be reduced to one word, which is gimmick. And even as you just said a second ago, John McCain himself, I think, is all but calling it a gimmick. I mean, if the shoe were on the other foot and John McCain and a president probably of his own party were trying to work together on this, if the shoe were on the other foot and this were something that John McCain didn't want to happen, he'd call it a gimmick, and he would be railing against this as wasteful spending and as spending outside the ground rules of the budget and so on. But this is one of the few ways in which John McCain wants to stretch the budget rules to get what he wants, which is more defense spending. So he says a generous interpretation. Essentially, what is happening is there are very strict budget caps, the so-called sequester caps, on both defense and non-defense spending. But OCO, Overseas Contingency Operations, the money that goes for that, which is the bureaucratic Pentagon way of saying essentially money to go to Iraq and Afghanistan, doesn't count. So they're trying to put as much money into that as possible so that it doesn't break the budget cap. And the president says it's a gimmick, and the president, who may want to spend more on defense, will only want to spend more on defense if they can spend more on some domestic programs too. And at this point, the Republicans in both the House and Senate saying no dice on spending more on domestic in order to get more for defense.
And I know we've only seen a few of the appropriations bills for the domestic agencies so far, but does it look as though
that should be a clue?
Right, right. you're anticipating my question. Does it look like they're just going to use OCO to plus up defense, or are they going to do that and at the same time reduce everyone else's funding by a proportional amount?
Well, at this point, it seems like things are starting to, if not grind toward a halt, if not grind to a halt. As you say, there's a defense markup in subcommittee this week. The only bill that the actual House floor is going to consider before the end of the month is the legislative branch bill, which is extremely simple and small by the terms of the debate. And then they're looking to run into an inability, potentially, of getting any more bills passed through the House because of the same problem, which is the bills are Even some Republicans want to spend more on some of this domestic stuff than the caps will allow. The next one that would normally be up, transportation, housing, Amtrak, obviously in the news. No matter what caused this derailment in Philadelphia last week, it has focused the country's attention on the fact that, you know, Amtrak is overdue for some safety improvements. Lots of Republicans want to vote for that. They can't really vote for it and call for the caps at the same time.
President, of course, has threatened to veto these measures if they're used basically as a way to plus up defense without solving sequester for everybody else. I look back today, I could only find two examples, recently anyway, of NDAAs being vetoed, one in 2008, one in 96. How big a deal would it be for an NDAA to be vetoed?
Well, it would be a big deal unless in both of those cases, as you know, they went back to the drawing board and they figured something out so that by the end of the year, a defense authorization bill, an NDAA, became law. This is, I think, year number 53, I think it is, consecutive years in which this bill has gotten done. No other bill can boast that kind of, you know, undefeated streak, as it were. As we all know, most everything in Washington has, you know, broken down. Even the most routine reauthorizations have bogged down. And yet the defense one gets done year after year. So I think long before the defense authorization bill, which doesn't actually spend the money, right? It's just in just a one-sentence short course here.
Right.
The NDAA is an authorization bill. It's a policy bill. It's the appropriators who actually are facing these caps and actually will need to, you know, have to make these decisions. And I think long before the NDAA end-of-the-year deadline on that, which is in December, the end of the year, by September or October, the appropriators, the leadership, the president will have to figure something out on the actual spending levels.
Last thing, the White House objected to a whole bunch of issues in their veto message besides OCO, things like, you know, keeping money in the budget for the A-10 and preventing another round of base closures and moving forward on military compensation before they think we've studied it enough. I mean, are those things that the White House would still continue to consider vetoing the bill over, or is it really just the OCO issue?
I think that's the main one. I think that each of those three that you mentioned, if that was the only thing left in the bill, the president, I think, my bet is, he would sign it. Although I think he's got a strong case to make on BRAC, personally. Politically, I think, you know, the president is in a politically strong and defensible position to say, in these tight times, you know, we're overdue for another BRAC round.
All right. David Hawking, senior editor of Roll Call. Thanks as always, David.
See you later, Jared.